Safety Committee in order. Looks like all of our members are here this evening. Are you ready, Mr. Secretary? Thank you. All right. We have four items on the agenda tonight. I assure you, roads is not one of them. I just want to make that clear tonight. First item that I wanted to bring up was the courthouse grant update. I reached out to our circuit clerk, I was going to say county clerk, our circuit clerk to get an update on that. She said the grant has been applied for. This is the courthouse restoration grant. It has been applied for, but it would not be considered until May. And so, really, at this time, there's not anything to update on until May when they grant that. So I'm going to forego an update next month as well. So when we get to May and they start granting the grants, whatever it is they do with them, we'll address them at that time. So I just wanted to give you an update that we're just kind of in a holding pattern with that. Okay? All right. The next item I have on the agenda, I want to talk about noise in the county. And before I get started, I want to invite Sheriff Riles. I want to include you in discussion. Would you mind coming up here and just sitting with us so that we don't have to shout at you back there in the back? And I want to include you in this. So I want to do a little bit of a preamble with the committee before we get into this. Currently, Faulkner County, we do not have a noise ordinance. And so I want to back up, and actually, there's kind of a reason why we don't have one. And that reason would be we've not had a need up until lately. So as some of you guys know, Sheriff Justice Schock has some law enforcement experience.
A bit.
And so I have a little bit as well. So we have both been in the field. And, we've dealt with noise issues. Rank and file deputies and police officers deal with noise issues. Some of the cities themselves have noise issues. But in the county, I would say we by and large, have been able to deal with noise issues. You know, when you have loud party issues or those kinds of things, we can roll up on the scene. You can have a conversation. You know, you've seen the joke of where you tell people you don't want us coming back again. And, oftentimes that works. Even without a law or an ordinance or everything, when you advise people that they are creating a hindrance in their community, I would say 9 times out of 10, you can resolve it that way. Unfortunately, one of the attributes of a growing county is there are consequences. We become less rural, and we end up with suburban issues and city issues out in the county. And so we're starting to see that. And of late, we've had several issues that the Sheriff's Department is dealing with now, and we'll talk about those in a little bit, but that the Sheriff's Department is dealing with that is trying to give some relief to some people in the county, some residences. And because of the lack of tools that the Sheriff's Department has, he's been limited in being able to address those. So specifically, we have three issues that have arisen. One of them has been brought to this the Quorum Court's attention in the past, and that's from the Gold Lake community. They've been in here, and they've spoke to us, and we were talking about other issues. But I went back and looked at the film, and several people from the community talked about a noise issue that they're having with a business that's playing music. And so that's an issue that we've been trying to deal with. There's been a number of discussions. I know that previous Councilor Hogue has been out there involved in this, trying to visit with the business, has met with some of the residences out there. And, and the residents who have been out there, they go to work and they come home and they want to visit with their family and they don't want their windows shaking and their dishes shaking. And maybe oftentimes it's not even from the reports that I have been getting and the emails, it's not even listening to it. It's feeling it. And you guys know what I'm talking about. You know, when you pull up to somebody next to a red light, you can't hear their music, but you can feel it. And I think a lot of times that's what they're experiencing, as well as the loud music. Recently, the sheriff has come up a second issue, a completely second issue in the Gold Lake community where we have a loud music issue. So we're going to talk about some of the tools that they have. But a third issue has popped up. And Justice Houston, would you mind helping me with this one? I have one for each of the committee members. These are copies of the emails I have received this weekend that I want you guys to take home with you. But this is on Horseshoe Mountain in the Shady Grove community. And apparently we have an ATV track that is being built within a number of houses. So this is not a subdivision where this is being built. This owner has, thank you, Justice, has several acres. He has a number of acres that he's building his track. But he has neighbors that are close by. We have livestock issues where there's concern about livestock being run through fences. Also, we have dust issues. So I was called this weekend. I went there and experienced it myself. The noise is horrific. You know, probably as loud or louder than what nice folks out in Gold Lake are experiencing. But also, there's this huge dust cloud. It looks like Camp Robinson's on fire up on Horseshoe Mountain. So they had some issues. And unfortunately, we're not sure that if the sheriff has adequate tools to help address this with the residents that are living up in that area. So these have kind of, between the Gold Lake community and what's going on Horseshoe Mountain, it's come to the part where I would like to have a discussion and include the sheriff on what can we do to address this. So first off, we don't have a noise ordinance in Faulkner County. Again, maybe because we don't need one. So as we have been talking with our counselor as well, as what opportunities do we have? And so we have, if I have it here, there is Arkansas Code. Jim, would you hand a copy of this out to everyone? We have Arkansas Code 5-71-207, which is disorderly conduct. And this may be a tool that the sheriff can use, and I believe that the sheriff may want to try to use this in Gold Lake. And Sheriff, I'm going to stop there and let you talk about this, if this may be helpful. Do you want a copy of this?
I have one. Copy? Yes, I do.
And let you talk about the disorderly conduct law, about whether this may or may not help you and the challenges that we have with that.
Right. Well, you know, in law enforcement, we kind of, everything revolves around a couple of circumstances. One is probable cause and then reasonable suspicion. And so that reasonableness goes a long ways here. Even though disorderly conduct in this, and if I can, let me just read this first paragraph here. In the Arkansas Code Title V in the criminal offenses, the 571-207 is a disorderly conduct charge. Disorderly conduct is a person who commits the offense of disorderly conduct if, with the purpose to cause public inconvenience, annoyance, or alarm, or recklessly creating a risk of public inconvenience, annoyance, or alarm, he or she, and we're just going to go right down to the point here, makes unreasonable or excessive noise. And based on that, now we've been charging people with public, not public intoxication, but disorderly conduct my entire career. And not until this issue come up did I ever see that this is what it said. Now, I have conversed with our county attorney, and I have heard that our prosecuting attorney is not necessarily in favor of doing this type of a charge on a loud noise issue. But here are my thoughts. My thoughts are, after careful consideration, is that we go, when we get a complaint at any location, that we go and we ask the people to control that noise complaint, that we ask them to tone it down and quieten things down, and then we leave. If we get a second complaint, then we've actually moved up here to where with the purpose to cause public annoyance. Because once we've warned him, and Justice Higgins and I had discussed this a little bit earlier, at this point, that purpose to cause annoyance is occurring in my mind. But here's how in a lot of situations that we get into in law enforcement, the only way to kind of resolve, is this going to hold up in court or not, is go warn them. If they don't quieten it down, we have to come back. We write a citation to appear in court, give them a court date. If we have to come back again, then we'll take them to jail and they can post bond on that type of a situation. So, and then we get it before a judge. Now, whether the prosecutor is going to be willing to prosecute it or not, whether the judge is going to be willing to find guilty based on this information, all of these reasons, the reasonable doubts and all of the things that we, that the probable cause that we have to, depending on the circumstances, is what the judge is going to weight, place his weight on whether he's going to be guilty or not guilty. The thing is what's not here is, well, what time does this go in? And who's to say that was loud or not loud? Do you have a piece of equipment that will actually measure how loud it was from the complainant's residence? All of these things will come into factor. But that goes back to, as a law enforcement officer, and at some point we have to be able to have something with some teeth. At this point, we don't have an ordinance. We don't have those things strictly lined out for us to be able to go in and enforce any type of loud noise outside of this right here. This will work. I do not know if it'll hold up in court. I don't know if the prosecuting attorney is going to be willing to even try it. But I'll write the citation, and we'll have them appear in court. And then from there on, it's up to the prosecuting attorney. I feel like then I've done my share. Now, I say all that, and I'm passionate about this. I had several of Mayflower residences come to my office the other day, and one of the gentlemen that was there was talking about a residence next door to him playing music till 4 in the morning, and he operates heavy equipment. And it wasn't 2 months ago, he wound up cutting some of his fingers off with a saw because, and he says, it's a lack of sleep deprivation. And because of all the noise problems that's going there, I can't imagine having that type of issue. And thank God I don't, but I sure think about the ones that do. And we need to make something happen. We need to make something happen, whether it's an ordinance. But where I'm at right now is my deputies have been instructed that if we get a complaint, first time you go warn them, ask them to tone it down. If we don't get any more complaints, we've handled it that night. If we get a second complaint out there, you write them a citation for disorderly conduct, because I think it's very clear here, and then we'll go from there.
So a couple questions, Sheriff, that I have on this. If we utilize this tool, which you said you are, so if the residents up there, someone complains about this, and a deputy goes and warns them, and they turn it down, but then we have it on record at that point that they have been warned.
That's correct.
It doesn't have to be that night. It can be the next weekend, I assume, that they're playing that loud music again. We don't have to start the whole process over again. We warned you last week.
I think that's fair. I wouldn't say it's have to be that exact night, but after a week or so or 2 weeks, if it's not becoming an issue and then all of a sudden it gets loud again, I think it's just fair to go and ask them to turn it down again, and let's see how that goes. Because I'm going to tell you, 99% of the time we leave, it goes back up. That's right. Typically what happens, and of course that's where my mindset's at.
Okay. I think, secondly, you guys, this is why I wanted to have the discussion. You can see the challenge that we have right now as far as utilizing the disorderly conduct law, that when you go back and look at what it says in paragraph A, with the purpose to cause public inconvenience. So the first time that they're doing this, there may not be for a purpose to cause public inconvenience. They're just playing loud music. Once the sheriff's department has warned them, though, and they turn it down, and then they leave it, it comes back up, then it's on purpose. You see the point? That's why you have to have the two-step rule, why you can't just go out there the first time and deal with it. There has to be purpose involved in this. So that is one of the concerns that we have this one. So the sheriff has this tool, as imperfect as it is, to start working with going on that. So I want to shift over and talk specifically, not moving away from the Gold Lake issue, but to shift over to the Horseshoe Mountain issue. It's similar but different. I guess the difference is this one's going on, the Gold Lake issue is going on mainly in the evenings, when people are trying to rest, get ready to go to work the next day and those kinds of things. On Horseshoe Mountain, though, the quad track, they're doing it in the daytime. This particular one this weekend was on Sunday afternoon, so it's not late at night or anything like that. Again, when my phone started blowing up and my emails, I made a trip over there Sunday afternoon and met with a few of these people, and the noise was loud. It was horrific. But really what amazed me more than anything was the dust cloud that was stirred up by this. It looked like what we see from Camp Robinson when Camp Robinson's on fire. I mean, it was several hundred feet up in the air. It was all over the community where it's going. So we did some research, and Councilor Murphy helped us with this as well. He's got with ADEQ to see if maybe the Arkansas Department of Environmental Quality might have some impact. There is a Rule 33 that has to do with the managing of racetracks. Seems to be a little impact in this, though, that it's limited to vehicles over 1,000 pounds. So quads are going to be close to that issue. But what we encouraged the local community to do was to go ahead and go online to their website, and we gave them that information and file a complaint anyway so the ADQ could come out there and look at it and get involved. The neighbors have talked to the property owner. A lot of them are related to each other. They all know each other, and we just have a little. And here's kind of some of the feedback that I've been getting. Is the replies have been, I'm out in the county, and there's not anything anybody can do to me. Okay, that's really not fair to neighbors. And I'll go back to, why don't we have a noise ordinance? Maybe in times past, neighbors have been fair, to neighbors, and we have a different issue here because the person that is causing the issue here, he knows that his neighbors are upset at him. So the issue that we have with this one is we're not sure that this will work, that the disorderly conduct law will work. It's still relatively fresh, but as we look at this, we don't know. So we may be able to use this as a tool, and we may not. So that's why I wanted to go back, and Justice Houston, if you have me one more time. And so I have an example. So again, Councilor Murphy has helped me with this. This is one example of a noise ordinance from Pulaski County. This is just for our review to look at. So this is what Pulaski, this particular ordinance does not totally fit maybe what we need, but it would be a starting point for us to consider what noise ordinance look at. And I looked at research to see, are there other counties that have noise ordinances? And the answer is yes. Most counties that are not absolutely rural, and so Faulkner County, we've kind of considered ourselves a rural county. I honestly think we're probably past that. I believe that the census that we're doing is probably going to indicate we're past being mostly rural. But the other counties like Crittenden County, Baxter County, Washington County, Garland County has one. They all have county noise ordinances. In Pulaski County, which we probably would expect to have a noise ordinance. There are unintended consequences of a noise ordinance, to be totally transparent. There are things that do happen in the county that aren't really a problem, that people aren't complaining about, that once we got a noise ordinance might become a problem. So we have, we have people that out in the county that shoot in their yard, sight in their deer rifle. They out there, they shoot 10 or 15 rounds and they're done. Is that an issue? I don't know that you got a lot of complaints on that. Probably not.
Yeah, no, I typically do not.
So we don't really want to create issues with a noise ordinance, but there's some people in the Gold Lake community that need relief, and there's some people in Horseshoe Mountain that need relief of an issue, and we're not, and the people that they're turning to help them can't help them. So I did hear about a 17-minute preamble on that, and I appreciate you guys bearing with me. Let me open it up a little bit and see if you guys have any feedback or questions that maybe the sheriff can help with or we can talk about. Or I can do another 15 minutes, I assure you. Justice Boyd.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
The Horseshoe Mountain incident situation is adjacent to District 12 when NUI bump up there.
Have you heard anything?
I have heard... I've had four individuals contact me, one at my house, one at the post office, one at one at Walmart, and one at Mojo's concerning this issue on Horseshoe Mountain and the noise level.
If you'd stay home, that's three complaints you wouldn't have gotten.
I've got to eat somewhere.
Go ahead, Justice Boyd, I'm sorry.
I've made two trips out there. And I never saw any activity going on at the time I visited the location. I did, however, notice that there was large excavating machinery in place. excavation has been done to the track where there are ups and downs, hills and valleys and da-da-da-da-da. A lot of raw, exposed dirt. I don't know if the dirt was brought in or scraped up or what. I don't know. I didn't exit my vehicle and get on the property. I just looked at it from Shady Grove Lane. I made two trips out there and did not see any activity. I did see the results of work that had been done. One of the gentlemen that queried me in the Walmart store mentioned ADEQ, and he was concerned about a runoff from all the bare land that's been exposed there. I also stopped at the counselor's office, and we pulled this up on the screen. And that particular area is a little over, if I'm not mistaken, counselor, was a little over 6 acres, we think. So there's a 6-acre area there that's being developed. And my first impression was, well, first of all, the ADEQ involved. Is there a permit required for that? Is there runoff? How does that affect the neighbors? If there's runoff, how does that affect the neighbors? That was one incident. That's just what I've experienced, Mr. Chairman. The gentleman at the post office, Megalopolis and Wooster Post Office, cornered me with the noise level. He said it was noisy, and he did mention dusty, but his emphasis was on the noise level. The other two gentlemen one of them was a lady. The other two individuals both expounded on the noise / dirt dust situation. So I am familiar with that. I've been by the location and looked at it. I guess I'm concerned. You mentioned this about the ADEQ. Is there something other than just Article 3 on the size of equipment that may be involved about environmentally impacting the area?
Well, as I understand it, one of the residences who called ADQ about, and it's Rule 33, about Rule 33, that's where they got the 1,000-pound limit feedback. But the ADQ did say that they would come out and look at it anyway and just see what the issue was. Now, here's the thing, and the only disqualification for this particular deal is because of the 1,000-pound limit. Everything else, because my understanding is, and one of the emails sent to me today, and I don't have it in your stack, it might be in there, but anyway, actually indicated that they're charging people to come out to this track, to come out and have fun and train and those things. So this might be a commercial venture, but aside from the 1,000-pound limit, it meets all of the other criteria for a track. And in the request, you have to have a permit to run the track, number one, and also you have to get 75% support of residences within a 3-mile radius. And I assure you on Horseshoe Mountain that would not happen if they were actually asked to comply with Rule 33. So
I hear you say there's some evidence to support that this is a business venture that's being established, not just a hobby for the kids to ride their four-wheelers.
That is correct.
So there's other things that would be involved within the county, a permit to operate a business?
Well, that's the slippery slope that we get ourselves involved in. And really, that's probably not part of the slope I'm wanting to go down.
I know.
I get that. But what I'm looking for is how do we help the sheriff department, because we've already determined we're not going to give him any money tonight. So how do we give him some additional tools so that he can go out and help, people who are asking for help, and I think asking for legitimate reasons.
And the noise and the dust would probably be the most formidable.
You know, I think the dust probably is an ADEQ issue that the state can handle with. I actually went to the website to look at it to see what the and air pollution is one of the boxes. If you want to complain about air pollution, they can complain about that. If you had a chance to glance through some of the emails, there are several residences, elderly, who have asthma and have issues, and they couldn't even breathe in their house, people across the road. So certainly, even when we look at the disorderly conduct, inconvenience, annoyance, alarm, or recklessly create a risk, you know, Sheriff, that might fall into creating a risk for these people.
Yeah.
So, So maybe this is a tool, again, even if we can't get a conviction out of it, if we go up and write a citation on this, based on this, and they do have to take it to court, and they do have to fight, and even if we lost, you know what, at least they have to go to court and stand before a judge and explain why they think it's okay to really inconvenience their neighbors.
No, that's correct. Yep.
So my question is, though, do you think this warrants considering something with a noise ordinance to give the sheriff's department a little more teeth? Justice Shock, I'm going to call on you just because I know you have experience. Do you have any feedback?
Is it hot now?
I think it is.
Okay. I could talk for an hour on this subject.
I probably won't give you that long.
Okay, and I'm not going to take that long. But as Sheriff Ross so eloquently...
This is the signal, okay? You have the floor.
As Sheriff Ross so eloquently said, reviewing the disorderly conduct statute, words mean things, especially in criminal statutes. Commits the offense of disorderly conduct if with a purpose means they purposely do something. And I don't think that anybody would think this is in the case with these two situations here. But you get to the word or. Recklessly. Now, what is recklessly? What is that? What's that definition? I know enough about this statute that if I was an attorney, I could make a great argument either way. And that's what attorneys are for. That's what judges are for. So, but I can see the predicament that they're in. I've been there a million times. You've been there too. Sometimes there's just not anything that you can do. When you start talking about a noise ordinance, my first inclination is to tense up and go, I want to do whatever I want to if it's on my property as long as I'm lawful. And you start talking about noise, I start thinking about me shooting my guns. That's the first thing I think of. But we have a couple of extraordinary circumstances. And I think with a statute that's very carefully worded, might be worth looking into. I can't say that I would support or not support something. It's definitely worth the discussion. And if I lived in Gold Lake or Horseshoe Mountain, I definitely want to talk about it. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to help the people. So in summary, I don't know.
Okay, that's fair.
Just being honest.
I just have one question for the counselor. Do you think, looking at the Arkansas Code, what's your take on this with the sheriff writing a citation, just in your professional opinion?
Well, there's no case law to my knowledge on the issue of a corporation or owner of a business that has been issued this citation. Almost all the examples of disorderly conduct are individuals who make disparaging or unfortunate comments to law enforcement officers. That's the typically where you see this raised. But that doesn't mean it can't be enforced. So as Sheriff Riles indicated, sometimes just because you have a statute on the books doesn't necessarily mean that you have a prosecutor that's willing to enforce that statute. So that's the second issue that it, as far as the enforcement, would have to overcome. And then the third issue is you have to have a judge willing to enforce it as well. So as it stands, I mean, it's certainly a citation that the sheriff could issue. If the quorum court were to create an ordinance, you're essentially creating a very similar crime. You are restricted as a quorum court to a misdemeanor offense, or creating a misdemeanor offense. I think the maximum is the same as a Class C misdemeanor, which is $500 and up to 30 days in prison. So noise ordinances are a little bit sticky as far as how to enforce them. The Pulaski ordinance is pretty broad. There are other ordinances that are very specific and require a measurement from a decibel meter. I believe that's what they're called.
Right.
From a decibel meter from a certain number of feet from the offending party. Once you start talking about taking decibel meters, you're talking about equipping officers with decibel meters, and that costs money. You're talking about possible training, and that costs money. And you're just talking about perhaps hassle. That's one more thing that our sheriff deputies have to carry with them, or at least have access to. So those are all things that I think the Quorum Court at least would need to consider.
Okay. I guess I've got another question. Have you reached out to Representative Meeks? This is his area, as well as looking at potentially having...
I'm not saying if that's Meeks or if that's Josh Miller.
I don't know. That's what
it's going to be close, but, yeah, but I have not yet.
I'm not sure. Okay, either one of them, just about potentially looking at whether it would be worthwhile to amending that Rule 33, potentially, through law to incorporate UTVs. I don't know whether that might be worthwhile.
Well, I think that's a regulation,
okay,
not,
so
not a statute.
We're not even talking about law. We're talking about it. Okay.
Well, it's still law, but it's a regulation. So, obviously, okay. ADEQ is the one who promulgated that regulation and created it.
Okay, so that, okay. Another question. And you kind of spoke on it earlier, if you don't mind, one more question.
Yes, Justice.
Justice Houston, is this something that you regularly get calls and emails about? I know we see that Justice Higgins is getting it, so is it a continual issue you hear about?
Would you like me to expound on that?
Justice Houston, I actually will give you the floor for a moment to expound on that, please. Okay.
Yes, I've been contacted by the residents that live across the street from the business in question. And I do know from talking to Councilor Ho prior to, the Councilor Ho had given the individuals an opportunity to basically mediate and try to resolve this issue with the business and with themselves. And I understand discussions have happened. I know that the business has basically gone from playing music to 1 in the morning until 10 o'clock at night. They cut the music off at 10 o'clock at night. I do know that they have, on a regular basis, they have a dB meter. And they register the music. They register the volume of music across the street over by the residences over there. They've got those records. And I do know that Councilor Hogue when talking to the residents across the street, even indicated that they could, and because there was no ordinances, that he encouraged them to engage the services of an attorney to bring a civil suit. And to my knowledge, that has not happened. And I've talked to several of the residents. I've been invited to talk with them, and they've come to me and talked with them. I'm not sure what to do. I know that I've been told that they don't like the bass. They don't like, the music. They don't like the volume. 1 o'clock to 10 o'clock wasn't good enough. They want it brought down even more. I don't think that we as a court should be legislating that. I personally do not. But if we do, I want to point out that this has to be applied over the entire county. It's not going to be just across the street from this business or where the track is. We're talking the county fair. We're talking the railroads. We're talking motorcycle shops. We're talking anywhere that there's offending noise based on if we go so deep as to say it can't be above 70 dBs, this has got to be enforced in the entire county.
Okay.
Thank you. That's all I have. Just a second.
Okay. Just a minute. I'll call you just a second. Justice Lachowski, you have spoke to you.
You're just itching to hear my opinion. Yeah. I'm kind of like Justice Shock. I mean, it's to me, I haven't formed a full opinion on this yet. I don't know. I worry about stepping on people's rights. I worry about stepping on businesses. I want businesses to flourish and to do what they need to do. But also, I'm sure I would feel just like these folks if I was living right next to them, And I was living up on Horseshoe Mountain having to listen to the four-wheelers all day long. So I think it's, like you said, it's striking a balance and something carefully worded, because I worry about, does my dog bark too late at night and the sheriff's going to come out, or can I shoot my gun in my yard?
They can already do that about the dog.
I don't know, and it's a difficult situation because I always want government to be the last answer, the last option that we turn to accomplish anything. Just are we at
So I do want to hear from the audience. Please, go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
If I can, Justice Higgins.
Yes.
Before the audience, to that point, let me just make sure that we're all on the same page, and it was stated earlier, but there's essentially three ways to control this issue. The first is through ADEQ, mm-hmm. so or at least for the road and possibly, you know, other scenarios. But then we have a criminal issue, so creating a crime either by statute or by ordinance. And the third is civilly. So anytime there is a public nuisance, that's a civil cause of action. So a person can bring a lawsuit against their neighbor for a public nuisance. And there are several types of public nuisance, but essentially that can range from anything from a smell. It can be a noise. So there's a lot of different things that can happen. So even if this court were to do nothing, it wouldn't be as though individual in the county would be without ability to have their concern heard if it amounted to the elements necessary for a civil nuisance. That's all.
Thank you.
And to be honest, I'm leaning that direction.
Okay. Now let's go ahead. So here's the deal. You guys have seen some of the emails. Let's hear from some of the folks that happen to live this. So go ahead. Now you can really talk.
I'm one of them, and I live pretty close. And like I say, this has been going on for about close to 3 years. We've been dealing with it, and it's bad. Because in my house, my vents are shaking, my chandeliers is rocking. I had one of y'all's deputy to come out, just to come in my house and listen to this, and he told me there was nothing he can do. So I said, well, what am I supposed to do? I got to be at work at 5 o'clock in the morning. So, I mean, we're just trying to get some relief down there so we can get some sleep and go about our livelihood also. I mean, because we have a livelihood. We have to go to in the morning at 5 o'clock. And if we listen to that all night, we can't get any rest. And like I say, the gentleman that cut his finger off, he and I have been talking for quite some time, and he is so furious. And I something needs to be done, because I'm afraid this gentleman is going to snap. It's bad. And we have talked to Mr. Hudson, Houston, and called him. Only thing he referred us to, call the sheriff department or call David Holt. And we was trying to tell him, you're our justice of peace. Can you help us with this situation? We need some help down there with that noise. It's bad. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Let me ask a question real quick. When my deputy, when the deputy came out, the other day, or when and you invited him in your house, and he said there was nothing that he could do. Just a curiosity question: did he advise you that this was a civil issue, or
no.
He didn't say anything like that? Okay, all right, that's what I need to know. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, you got to stand down.
I go down there on Sturgis Road too.
Yes, ma'am.
And I can bring you a letter from my doctor. My sleeping people, and I still can't sleep. Oh, Lord. That's all it is. It's just me and my little puppy at the house. What else would be disturbing? I put the TV off, music off, I put everything off, I get sleep, music still over there, but I live up on stairs. It's about it. That's just about it. I don't know what to do. Those sleeping people ain't doing it.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Just asking.
I just wanted to ask, how often do they play? Is it Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, or what's the...
Seven nights a week.
Really? Okay.
And if you're going to daytime, if they're serving anybody, it's playing then.
So we could go investigate it.
12 noon,
yeah.
You'll hear.
Yeah. So we can go listen any night of the week, then we can go down there and
bump, all night long until they close.
Thank you.
Have y'all looked into a civil lawsuit against the business owner?
We're trying to solve it without doing all of that. You know,
yes, ma'am. You said it'd been 3 years, so I was just wondering if y'all had.
I mean,
it kind of went down that thought process.
Mr.
You know what I mean?
I think he talked to you.
Who's that?
Mr. Lasky. Can you talk to him about the airplane deal?
Sure.
Mr. Henshaw. I mean, it was way back. Somebody shared the deputy come down and ask me, had I considered putting earplugs in my ears?
Right.
In my own home.
Right.
And that's the kind of stuff we've been dealing with.
Yes, ma'am.
And also, Justice Higgins, is it okay if I grab a copy that was left of the handouts?
Yes, ma'am.
If there were two pages, one. Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, I'm sorry, were you not done?
And I just tried to jot down a couple of notes as this discussion was being held. Mm-hmm. And one of the questions, I believe, was if this has been going on for this length of time, then perhaps maybe why hadn't the residents gone another avenue? And I think the avoidance of the civil action, the legal action, is that they have been, the residents in that area, and they're not all here tonight by any means, and if you go on Facebook, you will see that it's not just this group of people that are making statements, and it's not along the color lines. But when you look at the duties of the justices of the peace, and one of them saying, and also the Quorum Court, the county sheriff maintains the public peace, well, I think that there was a thinking that perhaps this could be solved with ordinance rather than civil action. And then one of the other things there was that the Quorum Court see preserve the peace and order and secure freedom from dangerous or noxious activities. ACA 14-14-801, I think the general thinking was that those things could be done without the three ways that our attorney has said, criminal, civil, and then there was one more.
ADEQ.
ADEQ. Okay, thank you. And then lastly, I would say, yes, it's a nuisance as it's described. I can't hear it. I'm far enough up that I can't hear it. Most of my things have been further up the road, but never had filed complaint. But I think that it's health issues also to be considered, just not an inconvenience or a nuisance, but that when you look at hearing loss and you look at mental health services and anxiety, the stress, I think that it's maybe now further along than just a nuisance and an inconvenience, mm-hmm. and we just hope that this court, that it's just as serious as the horseshoe mount, and it does sound like they have an issue too. So we just, the residents are seeking an orderly, civil resolution to the matter if possible. And by coming here now for about a year, is that they've seen issues get resolved here without lawsuits. And we're just looking for the same consideration. Can we go about this? And I don't know any discussions with Pulaski County or any of the other counties that already have some noise ordinance and how they may be working for those counties. Mm-hmm. I certainly have not had those conversations with any of those officials. But we thank the court for the service.
Thank you, Ms. Henderson. So let me play devil's advocate for a moment because I'm I just want to be clear, I'm sensitive to this issue. But we have to be, I guess the concern that we have, the difference between an ordinance and the Quorum Court doing an ordinance and the civil suit, and so, and I haven't presented it yet, but I actually have, just Houston, you can help me with this. And I'll tell you what, you can give Ms. Henderson one of those as well. But this is a case law regarding the racetrack. And this is a case in Jonesboro where they did file a civil suit and they were able to get relief on it. So I want to explain the difference, and I'm not the lawyer, and And counselor, if I get off on the wrong way, you can help me. But if we pass an ordinance, and I'll go back to Justice Shock's concern, if we pass an ordinance, we can't pass an ordinance that impacts Gold Lake area or Horseshoe Mountain. If we pass an ordinance, it's going to be Faulkner County-wide. And some of our constituents' concern is, then we're going to be affecting things that aren't an issue now and then will become an issue. The difference between having case law and filing a suit is we can file a suit against the issue in Gold Lake community and on Horseshoe Mountain. And they're specific and they're surgical, and they would address those issues specifically without the unintended consequences of affecting something that's not a problem in Valonia or something in Guy or something maybe even in Conway. And Counselor, am I even close on my explanation?
I think you're very close.
Okay, all right.
You got an A. Good job.
So that's the difference, the advantage of the lawsuit. I know that's the whole hiring an attorney and everybody having to get together and do that, but it's surgical. And a couple of the people who have called me on Horseshoe Mountain, they're talking about that because they're early. You guys have been dealing with this for 3 years. They've been dealing with their problem for 3 days. So there's a difference between the two. But I'm just saying that's one of the pushbacks of the ordinance that we at least need to discuss. So as the chair, here's what I would like to entertain. I'd like to entertain that maybe we work with our counselor to develop a noise ordinance. We need to discuss if we want it broad or narrow, and then let's bring it back, and then we can discuss it and fine-tune it. We can either pass it or fail it. And here's the deal. If we pass it and we can get some help to the sheriff and some relief to these communities, that could be a good thing. If we discuss it and we get feedback and determine that it's too broad and we don't pass it, then we'll have to go back and maybe look at the surgical, those communities. We'll have to look at those surgical strikes and us help them as much as we can. But those seem to be, in my view, the options.
Just to speak, if I, just to speak.
Sheriff, Higgins, as a matter of fact, I'm not going to recognize
so sorry.
You.
No,
sorry, go ahead.
And also, like I said, I just want everybody to know, especially the residences out there, that I am personally going to address these individuals that's causing the nuisance, and also to give us an opportunity to address the loud noise and then writing a citation and then getting it into court, and we'll see how far that goes. And a lot of it, you know, at the end of the day, really, it's just common sense with the loud noise. And theoretically, in the way it's always been, if we go out and ask them to turn it down, they don't turn it down. We write them a citation. And it's been like this since I've been in law enforcement, 35 years. And when we go to court, the judge is going to back us up. The prosecuting attorney is going to, you know, we've always had that relationship. Society has changed a little bit. So that's why I say you never know. But we will do our due diligence, and we will do our parts of this, and maybe the judge will and the prosecutors. They may be behind us 1,000%. I just can't promise you that.
Well, one comment that I would make, and I certainly don't want to speak for the sheriff, but I've had a number of conversations, and this is not a small issue in Gold Lake. And it's not.
Sure.
And it's turning out not to be a small or isolated issue on Horseshoe Mountain. And I believe that contact from the sheriff of Faulkner County saying this is what we're going to do would go a long way to maybe even help deter that. And I know I'm not speaking for you. You told me that's what your intentions are of doing.
Yes, sir.
So I appreciate that. Yes, sir. Justice.
I want to say something. Having worked for the Conway Police Department for over 28 years, over my career, I've seen our department utilize disorderly conduct in the event that you have a loud noise. We also have a city ordinance that governs that type of activity. What the city ordinance does is specifically it gives you a time range when that activity cannot take place. You can't go out here and be overly loud between, say, the hours of 11 p.m. and 7 a.m. But one of the things that I would suggest that these people do is if they they file a report, each and every one of them individually can go down and seek a warrant, file an affidavit through the prosecutor. And if 30 of them go down and file a report, that's 30 different counts that specifically could be filed against this business.
Okay. Thank you very much. Yes, sir.
I'm almost reluctant to say this, but I spent a large part of my career in occupational safety and health, and I have quite a bit of experience in noise monitoring and air monitoring, things like that. So I just say that to tell the sheriff that I might have some reference material that might be helpful to you, some tools that your officers might be able to use. Because when it really comes down to it, when you go before court, you know, if you've got numbers from a sound level meter, for example, you go back and you say, well, they turned it up, that's pretty subjective. But if they've got something that they can write down on a piece of paper, that's admissible.
That's right. Yes, sir.
So anyway, I'd be glad to talk to you and offer you some reference material and things like that. If it'd be helpful to any of you, actually.
Thank you so much.
All right. Yes, ma'am.
I mean, I'm the one. I got logs from day one. Documented when the sheriff come out, what time he called, what time he left, who I talked to, badge number. I got everything.
Okay.
From day one.
Good deal.
And may the record also show that I have not heard from one of my neighbors or residents that, we do business with the business owner there in terms of buying food. We want the businesses in that area to thrive. We support them. We hold meetings there. And certainly we have seen some community good send off to soldiers, homecomings. So we just want the record to be really clear that we are not seeking to in any way have a negative impact on the business, and that we have and are trying to work this out. We just still want relief and need relief in the homes of the people affected, but that a lot of the residents there still do business there, and in several parts of that business. And one thing, when the business came, a lot of people were not aware that it would also be an outdoor entertainment venue. Running the impression that it was going to be a restaurant and an indoor bars. And then that part, the piece about the outdoor entertainment was an addition. And so just working that out with the decibels and like my opponent, a large part of my career was also in occupational safety and health. So I hope that we can resolve this.
Okay. Thank you, Samson. Yes, ma'am. So somebody made him.
Exactly. And I feel like that's unfair. Nobody's trying to hurt your business. We want everybody to flourish. I mean, there's people that in the community visit. So it's not like we want to hurt you. We just want you to understand that, hey, we also have a livelihood. We want to get adequate amount of rest to where we can go perform our daily duties. And I feel like if there was a resolution towards the volume, then maybe we can be a little bit more supportive towards your business.
Okay, thank you. All right, so what is the will of the committee at this point? Justice Boyer?
One more thing, Mr. Chairman. Before we
responses, the four people, not responses, the four contacts that came to me were negative about this. I noticed that the emails you have are the negative nature. Has there been any positive support for the Horseshoe Mountain racetrack that you're aware of?
None other than the property owner.
And the property owner. And I'm certain of what the young lady discussed, that she confronted the owner of the business, and she's not received any have you received any positive support from your community for
Are you asking if, is anybody liking the music all night
yes.
long?
Yes. Does anybody enjoy it all night long? Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah.
I mean, it's okay, but you just need to turn it down so we can get proper rest.
It's the noise, it's not the music.
It's the music, it's the boom, 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 boom all night.
So we have your, we have negative,
everything.
We have negative input with no positive input.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I see.
Okay. All right, any pleasure from the committee? All right, so here's what my recommendation is going to be at this point as the chair. My recommendation is we encourage the sheriff to move forward with the disorderly conduct law.
That will happen.
I am going to go ahead and work with our county civil attorney to develop a rough draft on a noise ordinance and maybe have it prepared for next month. And in the meantime, sheriff can move forward with the disorderly conduct. And if that's not going to seem to work, I would rather swiftly like to move to an ordinance so that we could address it on a little more quicker basis. That would be my suggestion.
That's a good idea.
That is a good idea. And to piggyback with what Justice Schock and Justice Houston said, whatever the ordinance that's developed has to be encompassing for the entire county. We can't cherry pick.
That's where we have to be careful.
One or two or three businesses. We have to be sure that we're going to have to protect, not just, we have to protect the county in two different ways.
Right. Okay. All right, so, Counselor, it looks like you and I may be working together to come up with a draft. Okay, any other word from the committee?
You need a motion on that?
I think not. I think we just have an agreement that we'll run with that. We'll have a motion when we come back next month, whether we need to address, and hopefully, Sheriff, maybe we can get a little bit of an update from you next month to
Absolutely.
See how things are going with that.
Yeah, we'll find out how many calls we go to and exactly what the outcome and whether we wrote some citations.
Okay.
I doubt it'll be in court by then.
Right. All right, but at least respond.
Sure.
All right, so what, yes, ma'am.
Do we need to continue to call? Because I completely stopped calling
no.
the Sheriff's Department.
No, let me encourage you to call the Sheriff's Department. We want you to call the Sheriff's Department so that he can send a deputy so we can start this process. So, yes, please.
Because I completely stopped calling because when they come, they say there is nothing they can do.
All right, we're going to plan B. I think we've got something we can do right now.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. All right, next item on the agenda, we have two different ordinances. Justice Kendrick, did you bring copies?
Oh, boy.
I did not. Counselor said.
Counselor, do you have copies?
I thought they were provided here on the table in front of us.
That may be them. Justice Houston, could you help me one more time? Justice Houston, thank you. You've been handier than a stick tonight.
Yes, sir.
All right, so are we both of them? So I'm going to recognize Justice Kendrick for one at a time. How about let's address them one at a time? So it looks like the first one has to do with public meetings and live streaming. So Justice Kendrick, I'll turn the floor over to you.
Okay, thank you. Counselor, would you like to go ahead and read this?
Sure. We're starting with... I think yours has been stapled, so it's the front page here. But it's the proposed ordinance sponsored by Justice Chris Kendrick, to be enacted by the Forum Court of Faulkner County, State of Arkansas, an ordinance to be entitled Transparency of Public Meetings Live Streaming Amendment. Whereas the Forum Court meetings are statutorily mandated to be public meetings, and whereas questions often arise after meetings about exactly what was said or done in the meetings, either by the public, the press, or even by justices of the peace, and whereas citizens of Faulkner County expect transparent and accessible meetings in real time to be made available to them to view their local government at work. Now, therefore, be it enacted by the Forum Court of Faulkner County, Arkansas. 1. All Faulkner County Quorum Court meetings to include but not limited to committees and special meetings shall be live streamed at a minimum on Facebook social media platform to provide information in real time to the citizens of Faulkner County. Two, the county clerk and IT department shall establish a process to post the recordings of the quorum court meetings on the county website. Three, the recordings of each meeting shall be posted on the county website no less than 1 week after the quorum court meeting. Four, all documents, proposed resolutions, and ordinances shall be submitted to the secretariat by 12 noon, 3 business days before the day of a scheduled quorum court meeting. Such documents shall be posted to the county website within 24 hours of receipt by the secretariat. Five, in the event of a special quorum court meeting is called, then all documents, proposed resolutions, and ordinances shall be submitted to the secretariat no less than 24 hours before the date of the special meeting. Six, this ordinance repeals previous ordinances to the extent that they conflict, and it is incorporated into the 2019 organizational ordinance of this court. Seven, the rule established in paragraph 3 by this ordinance may be waived by a simple majority of the court.
Thank you, Counselor. Just to elaborate a little bit on that, this ordinance has been amended. Added section 1. Other than that, it's a similar ordinance. The section 1 and the last whereas are new. But other than that, this is what we have on the books. I added those two things specifically about the live streaming of meetings because our last set of meetings, I noticed they were not live streamed. And that's something I have got a ton of feedback on from my constituents and constituents all over the county on how much they appreciate that being done so they can watch a meeting as it's going or go back and watch it later. And I even went home myself after the last set of committee meetings. And the budget meeting was still going on, and I was going to watch it. Wanted to tuck the kids into bed and go watch it, and I noticed it wasn't on Facebook. So just based on the feedback that I've gotten and how helpful I've found that, I would like to see all our meetings live streamed. Preferably, I think Facebook, I put that in there specifically just because I've gotten a lot of feedback from people on Facebook saying how much they like it. I'm not necessarily hard set that. It could be YouTube. YouTube's widely accessible either, but I think we need to hold some sort of transparency standard of how we're going to conduct our meetings. That way it is accessible to the public in real time because posting of videos and whatnot, if something gets delayed and it's not posted on time, that information's not very helpful if it's not real time and they can't watch it. So that's what I wanted to throw this out there and see what Courts and Public Safety thought about
it. Okay. Yes, Justice Shock.
I'm leaning definitely in Justice Kendrick's direction. Unbeknownst to me, I don't remember if it was our last full meeting or committee meeting, I got a phone call on my way home from the meeting wondering why it wasn't live streamed. Of course, I didn't realize that it hadn't been live streamed. Heard all kinds of reasons. I can't confirm anything. But anything we can do for transparency where the public can sit in their comfort of their own home and watch it on Facebook or YouTube, I think is definitely a plus for the citizens.
Yeah. And to speak to that, I've heard from military members that they might not be in the county or even in the state at that time, but they went and watched it, as well as, we've got people that are disabled and can't get out and come up here that can watch it. So I think having it readily accessible to everyone in Faulkner County, I just think it's a benefit. And as far as the reasons, I don't know. I sent an email to Tom and the judge asking, hey, what's going on? Why aren't we doing this? Is there a path forward? What are you thinking? And I didn't receive a response, so I went ahead and did this.
And I would liken it to an area that I have enjoyed lately, Eagle Vision, Bologna Eagles. I've watched all of their state tournaments and some of their high school games, junior high games, football games, on YouTube at home. And if a high school can do that, you would think a county would have the capabilities to do that very same thing. I mean, it's something that I think we need to take a hard look at.
Justice Boyer?
Having been part of the original amended ordinance, we discussed things about YouTube and Conway Court and Facebook originally, if you may recall, Mr. Chairman. We decided, first of all, Conway Court cannot take care of the entire county. YouTube can be edited, context removed, put back, reformatted, and placed. The initial thing about, and the major thing about Facebook is that there are comments involved. Now, the reason why it was taken off of the live streaming, I have evidence on my phone of comments that were made during our last forum court meeting. Very disparaging comments. And I too have an audience that follows live streaming. And they snapshotted those comments. Now, y'all probably have not seen those comments because they were deleted by the individual that made the comments. Justice Boyer has a snapshot of those comments made. They were very disparaging. They included disparaging remarks against members of this quorum court. Have you read them? Anybody? Has anybody seen the comments?
Have not. I would be interested in taking a look, though.
There was disparaging remarks made against members of this quorum court, not my name, but by the quorum court. Disparaging remarks made against the judge and other county employees. And it was horrendous. It was horrible. It was vulgar, to be blunt about it. My contact snapshotted those comments before they were deleted and forwarded them to me. I was asked about had I seen the comments in a restaurant with a friend of mine, and I said I had not. We left the restaurant. I called the individual that did a snapshot of those comments and was told that I would get a copy of the comments, and I have them on my phone. I am not opposed. As a matter of fact, I go back to my original statement, Mr. Chairman. Indulge me just another couple of minutes.
Okay.
I am not opposed to being transparent. The whole purpose for transparency was to move from the audio recordings that Secretary Darter made originally and put on our website, and people would come in and she would download the audio recordings to them. That was the intent, to provide an avenue for transparency to be made available, not to be made of somebody's easy chair or wherever they're at. We don't know from the comments that are made on these posts while we're live streaming. We do not know where these individuals live, if they live in my district, your district, Faulkner County, Arkansas, Tennessee, Missouri, Texas, wherever. They made comments. I've looked at many of those comments. I have a footprint in Faulkner County, and I recognize a lot of names. I don't recognize a lot of the names that the comments come from on our feed. And they're usually negative comments about he didn't say this right, and he should have done that, and she should have said this, and whatever. It's always negative. It's very seldom positive. If we can come up, said all that to say this, if we can come up with a way to live stream, and that's just a term I'm using, broadcast or whatever, our committee meetings and our quorum court meetings live without the availability of a looker making a comment, I would be for that. The comments made, there is a time delay. Do any of you watch live streaming while you're sitting at the table? We don't. So we don't know what's going on out there. If someone's sitting out here and they make a comment, we're all aware of it. Everybody knows about it. We can rebut it or we can accept it, one of the two. There's no way to see what the comment's made, and then that individual deletes it. It's already been out there in cyberspace, and you never get to see it. But your name may or may not have been included in that comment. If, Mr. Chairman, if we can come up with a way to live stream is just the term I'm using, to broadcast or whatever, our meetings, I would be all for it. Let me be emphatic about this. I am not in favor of using Facebook as a format unless all comments can be done away with, period. Nobody has the ability to comment what Justice Lahowski says. What Justice Lahowski says is recorded by us. secretary. She has it on audio. There's no disputing about that. There's no need to have somebody out there in cyberspace making derogatory comments about any of our quorum court members. If there is a way, I'm not an IT person. I can barely do a cell phone. But there, I'm sure that we put a man on the moon, but there's a way we could do this where we don't have to have comments available to everybody, and especially people that are not even familiar with Faulkner County. Period.
That's true. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Let me get Justice Lahowski. He had his hand up just a moment. Go ahead.
Yeah. I appreciate the discussion here. I would make two amendments to this. One of them is that I don't like mentioning a specific company like Facebook in here, because this ordinance may live another 20 years and Facebook may be irrelevant in another 20 years. So kind of jumping on to Justice Boyer's life, just figure out a way to live stream. I don't care how you do it, I don't care what it's at, but having a place to point people to watch live stream, because I have gotten some feedback. I think we might need to hire a makeup person because of all the superstars we're becoming from all the people watching Facebook Live. Apparently it's quite a bit, because we've all gotten quite a bit of feedback from this. But
at least the back of our heads.
At least the back of our heads. That's exactly right. But
the movie stars right there.
So that would be one amendment I would make, would be to take Facebook off and just replace it with whatever verbiage to say, shall be live streamed on a platform. I got one more amendment would be to in number seven, and it says paragraph 3, and I believe that should probably be, I think, changed to paragraph 4. Is that right, Justice Kendrick? Was that changed whenever you added number 1?
It could have been.
Because number 4 is talking about all documents and stuff.
Yes, that would have been, yeah, because I didn't change paragraph 7, so that's an oversight.
So that would be another amendment, strike 3 and replace it with 4.
Okay, Justice Shaw?
I've glanced around the room, and I could be wrong. But I don't think there's a single person in this room that has been talked more disparagingly about than me through my years. I don't think that anyone in here has had a political opponent who ended up in the federal penitentiary like I have. So saying all that, I understand being attacked. But if we're worried about being attacked on social media, folks, we're in the wrong business. That's where it's at nowadays. And I'm all for being live streamed on Facebook. If there's a way to turn the comments off, I wouldn't be opposed to that. But it's easy. It's very cheap, very simple. And just because somebody might say something, if we start conducting business on something, on the possibility that someone might say something, we're going to be doing a lot of ordinances.
I concur with Justice Shock to the extent that we're not talking about just elected officials. We were talking about county employees. They don't deserve that.
Let me come back to that. Margaret, did you have something?
I just like to make a statement, like, who's your ordinance to? Because, one, you're stepping on the toes of the elected officials. The employees belong to the elected officials, not to the JPs. So who are you ordering to live stream? My hands are full. I'm not live streaming. I don't care if you live stream or not, but each one of y'all have the privilege of live streaming yourself. You're causing us to have to pay, or asking us to pay an employee to come up here to live stream. They have to turn it on, turn it off. But, I mean, who are y'all directing your ordinance to?
Let me do this, and Counselor, let me ask a question, and Counselor, I don't know if that would be you or if that'd be Mr. Anderson. Before we go into all this, so we know that we did not live stream. Let me back up. We have been live streaming as a matter of courtesy for a number of months, year and a half.
I don't know if it's been quite that long.
Okay, number of months, over a year. All right, we've been doing that as a courtesy, and then apparently, without getting, we had an incident last quorum court meeting. All right, and then we did not live stream the series of committee meetings, the special committee meetings. Here's the question. Was that by design, or is that a technical issue? Do we know?
That was by design after those comments were made. The judge asked us not to put that out, and he also directed us to find a different way to do it.
Okay, so that's fair. So here's my next question then. Before we do all this, is it fair to ask what is the intent of the judge going forward?
You're on YouTube Live right now in the test room.
Okay. So it's not the intent to shut to cease offering this courtesy that we've been doing. Okay. That I just wanted to clear that up and everything. So so we had an incident, we backed up, we're trying to correct on how we can do this better. And so we're not stopping it. So I'm going to give my opinion, so I've allowed her to say, I think that this is a good thing. I think the live streaming has been positive. I think the committee agrees live streaming has been positive. I'll go back to what I've said several different times, and even a little sensitive to what Margaret just said. We don't have to ordinance everything. And there are times when we can walk down the hall or walk across the parking lot and ask, what happened? And what are we going to do to move forward? And so you answered my question. The intent is for us moving forward. I don't know that we have to pass an ordinance to do that. I can see that. But I'm a conservative. I don't want to use that ugly four letter word called politics. But I'm a conservative. I believe in small government. I don't know that we need to regulate everything. And I really think we can. I appreciate Justice Kendrick's intent, and I support his intent, but I think we can do that by walking across the hall and asking some questions, and let's fix it that way without an ordinance. That's my view. And it seems to be, now, if that wasn't the answer that we were going to get, then maybe we need to do that. But at this point, my input is it may not be necessary. Right. Justice Kendrick, your order.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think that this is necessary because it's stating as a county that we are committing to doing this no matter how the quorum court shifts that have been involved in all these transparency discussions, no matter who's judge or any elected official, we're saying that we are committed to maintaining a certain level of transparency to the residents of Faulkner County, and I think that's really important. It's one of those, am I hard set on it being Facebook? No, not necessarily. I think it's the biggest platform right now. I think it's easily accessible. There's tons of people on there. That's where I get most of my feedback. I was getting feedback and having a discussion about this and some of the comments on Facebook earlier on my own page. So it's just something very easy to interact with with all the constituents and people in Faulkner County. But I would definitely like to see this set in, saying that we are going to do this. We're committed as a county to doing it. You know, as you said, walking across the hall, I sent emails before I did anything trying to figure out what's going on, what's that, no response. So I just think to avoid confusion and everything else, set the standard, say, hey, we are going to be transparent. We're committed to doing it for all the residents in Faulkner County. Let's move forward.
Counselor?
If I may, three things. One, Justice Kendrick, you and I did have a phone call, and I did respond to you, at least in part, as to what had happened. So
it right. I didn't mention your name. I mentioned Tom and the judge. You and I talked. Yeah,
I just want to make sure that there was at least discussions that were had. The second part, as far as transparency, although not live streamed, the video was placed on the county website and was available for everybody to see. It just wasn't made available on Facebook. So people still overseas could see the quorum court meeting. People still that were handicapped or not able to come through the doors were still able to see the discussion that took place. So that still occurred. But the third point, and the one that I think is more important, is I do not believe that the quorum court has the authority to tell the county judge what to put on the website. And I've talked with you a little bit, Justice Kendrick, but just so I can explain to everybody, there's a separation of powers that comes into play with quorum court and the county judge. And essentially, the quorum court is the body which can establish legislation and create certain policies, including our employment and personnel policy. That's something that this court has the power, and certainly this court has the power to fund or defund or determine a certain amount of employees for the county. But the execution or the administration of the county is the authority of the county judge. I would assert that this ordinance oversteps its ability of the quorum court. Now, a judge may disagree with me.
Question.
Sure.
So on that line of thought, which happens to agree with me, I'm thinking that maybe even an a resolution which expresses the will of the court to the judge that we would like to have this live streamed might be more appropriate than trying to pass an ordinance that may not even be legal. That's just for discussion.
I agree from the legality perspective. A resolution is something that, as you indicated, is the will of the quorum court and essentially a request to the judge, and he can do with it what he will. But there's a chance that this quorum court could pass an ordinance and the judge simply throw it away anyhow because he doesn't want to adhere to it. And as Tom mentioned earlier, I don't want to speak for the judge, but there's videotaping going on. And once again, this will be on the website. I don't doubt that. And it's being streamed as we speak, and hopefully that can help the situation, but I don't know that that's going to be I'm not 100% positive that that's going to work. There's been discussions on some speed bumps to that. But I think a resolution would be more proper.
And so just so I can be clear, Mr. Anderson, whether we pass this or don't pass this or a resolution or not, the intent, as far as you know as a judge, is to continue stream. Yes. Thank you, sir. All right, Justice Andrew.
Okay, I guess just comment to Mr. Murphy's point, talking about the website. What I added doesn't talk about the website, so anything talking about the website is already on the books, and I'm not aware of any lawsuits challenging that.
There are no lawsuits certainly challenging.
Okay, so if we are in foul of the law, we already are in foul of it, and this ordinance does not change that. What my amendment does not change that, correct?
The amendment would not.
Well, question.
Justice
Number
Boyer.
Six, this ordinance repeals previous ordinances. Ordinance 1816 has us putting it on the website. This ordinance repeals previous ordinances. That's what it says.
If I were here in 2018, I would have said that too.
I'm talking about the current ordinance.
I understand and I agree that it is overturning 2018. My point is simply, in 2018, I'd given you the same advice as I am giving you today. I can't speak for Councilor Hogue, but yes, you are right in your assertion that passing this ordinance would be just as overstepping the bounds of passing the ordinance earlier. Let me say this to make sure I'm perfectly clear. If this were to go to a court, probably the best assertion that the quorum court could make is that you aren't trying to govern the county, you're simply trying to operate this meeting. And that might be a pretty good argument that a judge could sink his teeth in and say, well, hey, since this is just a quorum court proceeding, you know, we're going to give a little more deference. And that would be the best argument that could be made. However, I still think that you're directing a county employee through the IT department or even having the county clerk do the bidding of a quorum court.
And I guess,
do you have a question?
Yes.
Justice Lahowski, I'm going to get you in.
I've got two. So I got two things. So one of them, like you were saying, we're directing, so I don't think this is not going to happen. I'm just theorizing. If the quorum court hired someone to be the full-time secretary of the quorum court who could carry out these duties of printing things off and doing all the stuff that I'm sure Margaret spends a lot of time doing, that's one route. We could probably direct that person to do whatever an extent.
You could fund the person. That's correct.
Okay, so we still can't direct it. Okay, so we can't direct any people to do anything.
You can create a position and you can fund that position.
Yeah.
But it would just be like the county attorney. Here I am serving as the attorney for the quorum court. However, you can't necessarily call and say, hey, Philip, I need you to go down to whatever road and investigate this matter, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's outside the ability of the quorum court.
Yeah.
So to your point, if we were to hire somebody, if we were to fund somebody, give them to Margaret and tell Margaret, we want somebody to wait on us hand and foot and we want cookies, and Margaret had them out working in the polls, we would have no recourse other than, Margaret, you're not doing what we want, we're taking that person away. That's it. That's how it works.
So that one just came up just based off of my original statement was, I really agree with you on what you said. The judge has taken initiative to remedy this. He's on track. He's trying to figure out a way to make this happen. We didn't even ask him to live stream in the first place. It's just something he took on and did. And I'm worried about what Margaret said and what Bill said as far as crossing lines and boundaries and stuff like that. You know, I don't want to push it, you know. We got what we want for the most, you know, we're going to get back to streaming again. It might not be on Facebook, but we can still point people to wherever it lands, you know. I just want to make my opinion known is that I'm good to leave well enough alone, just like you said earlier.
Justice Kendrick, did you have something?
Yeah, just to follow up with the counselor, was anybody notified about the videos being put on the Facebook, or the website, excuse me, because you said they could access it, but did we tell anybody that you're aware?
So, did we tell anybody there was a change? Not to my knowledge. Did we tell anyone originally? I think that was the idea in 2018 when this was passed, that those would be put on the website. It was simply the county judge that, through his own volition, decided to try the Facebook streaming option. I'm not sure what happened in 2018, but the videos for quorum court, there's a significant amount that are obviously on Facebook, but also on the website as well.
Justice Pickett.
Section 2 says the clerk and the IT department shall establish. Court can establish. Per shall is mandatory, but we can't order.
Yeah, I think before Justice Kendrick gets in the middle of that, that was already on the order.
Yeah, and I believe it was a unanimous vote for it.
Yeah.
That actually says shall begin working together. It doesn't say shall establish, it says shall begin working together to post the recordings of the quorum court meetings on the county website. And that's right off Ordinance 18.
So I think Justice Pickett duly noted.
But I'm supporting your case and the attorney's case.
Justice Rowland?
Yes, I had a question. I may have missed it, and I apologize if I did. So streaming on Facebook, did I miss? I had a constituent show me one of the posts as well. That was a comment that was made. Just one, not multiples. But is there not a way that we can? Is this the question? This is my question. Is there not a way that we can turn comments off? Did I miss that answer?
My understanding in this discussion with Steve, our IT director, was there is not a way to turn off Facebook comments. Facebook wants as many comments as they can. There is a way for viewers to block commenters, I think, but there's not a way for the one posting to simply have a no comments allowed on this live stream.
So this is my second question, and so what stops that particular person that was posting all these nasty things, and it may have been multiple, I just know of one, what stops them from posting under or any other thing that we put on our page?
Nothing.
Which is why the judge is looking at other alternatives to not allow people to comment.
Okay.
So
because I thought we could have control over that.
Yeah, and unfortunately we don't.
Okay.
And at least what we've been told is that we don't have control over that. So I am not a Facebook Live expert. I think I might have been the background of one that my teenager was doing, but my understanding is you cannot turn the
court. You know, so just as Roland, my vast experience serving on the quorum court now for 10 years, and I say that sarcastically, I'm sensitive to what Justice Schock said about if you're going to be in this venue, there are
comments that will be
there are things that happen. I'm inclined, you know, we have a First Amendment, we have all these types of things and everything, but at the same time, I think in this committee tonight, I've been, and typically, I've been very free, and anybody who comes in here and wants to speak on the subject we're speaking out can be, they can talk to us respectfully, even if they disagree, and we can have a discussion. It's hard to do that when we're here now, and there are people, maybe not even from the state of Arkansas, who are calling us, and I can tell you, I go back a couple of years when we were dealing with the animal control issue and the building over by the Justice Building and the misinformation that was shared and the downright lies about that building and the judge and the court stealing money from the animal fund or thing that was not true. Now, can that happen even outside of a live feed? That is. But while you're having a discussion, really, if people want to come and talk to us about that, we've been very accommodating. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of in support of, if they want to make negative comments, you know, let them go to Justice Kendrick's personal site, let them comment if they want to, or mine, or whoever's. I think the county site, I think we need to make it available for them to watch, and I'm not preaching at you, I'm just talking.
No, I
but I think we need to make it available. They need to be able to see what their county government is doing. I know people who are homebound that do like watching and everything. I don't see the benefit in live comment. So I don't support that. Although, as Justice Schock mentioned, I've just lived with it.
So that's enough letter cup.
Yeah, you know, you just have to suck it up sometimes. But I don't like it. Just Kendrick.
Yeah, I guess just a comment out, because there was some feedback earlier on Facebook about the comment. I'm not hard set on the comment. I don't care if the comments are turned on or off personally. It doesn't bother me either way. I just care that the information is readily available and easily accessible. So whether it be YouTube, Facebook, or if we just wanted to put social media platform, but I do think it's important enough to show a level of commitment in our quorum court meetings that we do that. So that's the only comment I had on comments.
Okay, just wrote.
But we do have an ordinance on the book that does put that commitment on. We're putting it on our website as of right now, though, correct?
Yes. Okay. Well, I don't believe so, because the recordings that were specifically mentioned in this and the debate that went on about this were the audio recordings. It doesn't. I don't know if that's interpreted maybe now as video recordings, but we were only audio recording the meeting, so at the time when this ordinance, when that verbiage was done, so that's could be an interpretation.
I think video was a result of the discussions that we were having at that time, but again, go back. So I'm gonna, any other further comments? All right, so I'm going to wrap this up a little bit, and I'm going to actually take the liberty of having the last word. I appreciate the intent of what we're doing here, but I just want to reiterate, I think we had an issue. I think the judge's office addressed the issue. I think the commitment that we're seeing is we're going to continue with this, and just because my typical stance of small government, I don't necessarily think that this is necessary, but Justice Kendrick is presenting this, and Justice Kendrick, if you would like to make a motion,
sure,
so that we can... I'll allow that, and then we can see where it goes.
Thank you, Chair. Mr. Chair. I guess I will make a motion, but with an amendment with what Justice Lahosky said. So in Section 1, delete at a minimum on Facebook social media platform, and just put meeting shall be live streamed on a platform.
Okay.
To provide real-time and then the rest of that. And then in Section 7, delete 3 and change it to 4. And I make a motion that we send that to the full court.
Okay. We have a motion as amended. Entertain a second. Failing to hear the second, the motion fails. All right, Justice Kendrick, so we'll move on to the second ordinance that you have. So I'll turn the floor back over here. We're going to change gears and go to this one. This has to do with the audit report transparency.
Sure. Take a few minutes here. Sorry.
Have you, Justice Shock, have you looked at this? Take it with you while...
I'll be back. I'm not leaving.
Just Kendrick, we're going to try to do, we're going to try it. I don't want to press. We're going to try to do this in about 10 minutes.
Okay. Sure.
So go ahead.
Okay, Counselor, you want to, can you read it real quick for us?
I'll read it as quickly as I can.
Peter,
and I propose an ordinance sponsored by Justice Chris Kendrick, be it enacted by the Quorum Court of Faulkner County, State of Arkansas, an ordinance to be entitled Audit Report Transparency Ordinance. Whereas the citizens of Faulkner County expect transparent county government, it is imperative to publish reports of all audits which report how county government is conducting the people's business. Now, therefore, be it enacted by the Quorum Court of Faulkner County, Arkansas. 1. All audit reports shall be posted on the Faulkner County website for residents to view the results of how their county government is operating. 2. These reports should include, but are not limited to, legislative audits, audit from any federal government departments or entities, audit reports from other state government entities. 3. The following information shall be published from the yearly legislative audit at a minimum. Exhibit A, balance sheet, regulatory basis. Exhibit B, statements of revenues, expenditures, and changes in fund balances, regulatory basis. Exhibit C, statements of revenues, expenditures, and changes in fund balances, budget and actual, general and road funds, regulatory basis.
Thank you, Councilor. Okay, so the idea behind this one is basically it's another transparency ordinance to increase the transparency of our county government for our Faulkner County citizens. And my thought process behind that, and this is one of the things that we are scored on as a county, as is every other county by some of the transparency indexes, is the lot of the legend or the audit reports that are placed online for the public to view, and the ones that I specifically called out, legislative audits, because those are audits that we typically go through if we happen to have any audits from a federal government department or entity, and then any other audit reports from other state entities. I think that would, what I had in mind with that one encompassing would be like a jail audit, jail standards audit, something like that. But just putting this information out there because it's grading how our county's doing and how we're operating and making it more accessible for the residents of Faulkner County and improving transparency.
Okay. Justice Lahowski beat you by a second, so go ahead.
My only question would be for the council, is this
Constitution
shalling people? Are we shalling the wrong people?
I would have the same warning, which is, once again, we're asking the county judge to perform a function of his job. So, yes, the same caveat would come with this.
Justice Boyer?
Where does it say the county judge has to do that? It doesn't say who has to do this.
That's true in that it doesn't ask or doesn't specify, but it just says all reports shall be posted on the Faulkner County website, and the county judge is the overseer of the website. So I think that, although not specifically named, certainly implies the responsibility of the county judge.
So would that be like saying we want something to happen at the jail, we just assume the sheriff's going to deal with it?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you. That help?
No, sir.
To me, and to your point, if it doesn't name anyone, then the county judge could say, well, he wasn't talking to me. I don't know who they're talking to.
Or the next county judge could have a different opinion.
I understand the import. Like, I agree with this, and I just wish we could do it. Maybe this is a resolution thing, asking that we please, may you please post these so people can take a look at them. I don't know the answer, but I think they should be available, even if they are available, if it's legal to throw those things out there.
Sure. So how do we get, how would the public, Justice Kendry, I'm asking a rhetorical question, maybe, how would the public today get access to the legislative audit if they wanted to at this point? Do you know?
I do not know. I know the only thing that I was able to find on the county website, I believe, was Exhibit A. There was one exhibit that was posted, I believe, that I found. I think it was Exhibit A, but nothing else was posted on there. So there was one of them, though.
What's
specific.
Exhibit A?
Yeah,
on
that's
three.
What?
The balance sheet.
Well, your financial statement's on there once a year, and it's on there now.
Yeah, so I think one of them we are doing, but not any of the other major sections of that one specifically for legislative audit. So it's
so Exhibit B, which is statements of revenues, expenditures, changes in fund balances.
Yeah. There's the specific. I didn't see them online. So Those are specific sections of the legislation.
If I may, the State Department, or excuse me, the Arkansas legislative audit, thank you, has a website, and they provide that information. So the most recent legislative audit that's been completed for Faulkner County is 2017, and so that's available. And I think you can find previous years as well, but I think that's the most recent audit that's been completed. 2018 could be posted, I think, any day now. I think that's still or just being finalized. So, but it's available on the Arkansas Legislative Audit website.
Okay, so that's where the public could get it if they wanted to?
Absolutely.
Okay.
As well as every other government entity audit, whether it's the Bologna sewer system or anywhere, any state entity, the audits can be found on that website.
Okay, any other comments from the committee? Questions?
So we still don't know who's going to be responsible for this. We're assuming that the judge is going to be responsible. Is that what I heard?
Justice Boyer, I'll be honest with you, I'm not assuming anything. We can do a couple of things with this one. I certainly want to give it due time, even though we're going to shut this down for 10 minutes. We can have a motion, and we can not second it, or we can maybe potentially ask the sponsor to take it back and tweak it a little bit and then resubmit it. It's the pleasure of the committee at this point. Do you have any input for your colleague?
I worry that we keep pointing our finger at the judge over and over again, because I'm sure the RFP ordinances that we passed might be along those same lines, is that we're directing him to put these RFPs on the website. We directed, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. If we're not in the business of directing people, then we're going to have to find other ways to make transparency happen, you know.
So
I don't know what.
So let me ask out of ignorance, because I know where I could go and get this, because, you know, people send me this stuff. So, because I'm an elected official. So I get that. So we have access to it. So if I was not an elected official, I get it. But my question is, and Margaret, I certainly don't want to put you on the spot and everything, but do you get a lot of demand or request for this? Or is this?
I personally have not ever had a demand for it. Generally, these things, the audits for all the school and places like that are filed in my office. I don't know. The final audit goes to the judge. I don't know that that's ever been filed in my office. That all, out of all the audits that I file in my office, I have never had to go pull one and give it to anybody.
So if I was not an elected official and I wanted access to an audit and I had no idea who to call, and I call my JP Lahowski and he doesn't know, could I call your office and say, Margaret, do you know where I can find one of these and you could steer me that direction?
Yes.
Google.
Yeah. And I realize that may not be living up to the spirit of the transparency that we're talking about, but it is available, and this is not something that we're being asked of a lot.
And I spoke with Scott earlier and asked him a similar question about the availability. I didn't ask how many people had asked, but he said all of the documents are available in his office in regards to the financial reports that can be.
And as I understand, you're an elected official and you're responsive to the needs of your constituents?
Yes. Yes, and the financial statement, which is not, I don't know if it's comprised like theirs, but we're required to file a financial statement by March. It's supposed to be published in the newspaper by March the 15th of every year, and that is also on my webpage on the website. So that goes on there every year now, but that's available. I think we started putting that on there last year, but it's law now for it to go be on our webpage. So there's a financial statement on there yearly now.
Okay.
And any reports that are FOIable, I mean, all they got to do is ask. And, you know, I don't have high demands for anything. Maybe a vendor list. Okay. And those are people wanting to sell us. They're not really coming in to do anything. They're just wanting to sell us something or get on the list for the sheriff's office on their tow list or, you know.
Right.
Them to call to be used.
All right. Justice Kendrick, the ordinance is yours. What is your pleasure?
I make a motion that we forward this to the full court.
All right. So we have a motion. Is there a second? I'll entertain a second. Failure to hear a second. This one also fails to move to the full court. All right. Any additional announcements or anything before we dismiss? I'll entertain a motion to dismiss.
So moved.
Second.
All right. We are dismissed. Thank you. And I appreciate everyone's patience.